Welcome to the Antioch Christian Ministries podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Rod Chalk.
Why don't you grab your Bibles with me and turn to Luke, and we'll turn to Luke chapter 1, and this is where we'll spend a little bit of time today. It is one of my favorite things really to do in preaching is to preach around Christmas time, but this year it seems to be a little bit different for me. We're still going to look at this particular passage in this chapter in here, but I just want you to walk with me as we do something today. So let's pray. Father, here I am. Take my mind, Lord, and begin to work through it. Take my heart, Lord, and begin to pour out through it. And that, Lord, I pray that your words would be my words, Lord, and there will be victory in this house today. In your name, amen. 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 Well, I love Christmas. I love mostly everything about Christmas. One of the absolute joys for me is now with having grandbabies and having grandkids. And when the grandkids come over, and I love to see their face as they open up a present. Now, there are those, it's hilarious because, you know, every once in a while you want to give them a little bit of something where maybe it's a teaching thing or maybe it's a piece of clothing or whatever. It's hilarious to watch their face as they unwrap some clothing. This is Poppy's gift? What happened here? Okay, something's wrong. Okay, you know, in there, you just see their faces, and then I'm like, it's okay, I've got another one, and they're like, oh, you know, and their faces just light up because, and to me, to be honest with you, Christmas, really, to me, I just love to give. I love to give. It is such a joy to see their faces light up in those moments. Anybody with me? You just enjoy that kind of part there, too. But what I want to talk to you today about is four different people that we find are either represented or they're actually there. So one of them is not quite there yet, but you'll see that he's on the way and he's in the womb, and you'll see what's happening within this. But the idea in this, I just wanted to walk through and share with you a little bit of it. The first one is this. And, you know, the first one when I think of the greatest gift of all is always thinking about what Jesus has done for us. This is the greatest gift. When I think, though, the measure to me, it always, I don't know what it is about it fully, but it always gets me contemplative when I begin to think of Jesus coming as a baby. Now, I need you to understand theologically that we know that Jesus was God, is God, always will be God. There's no sense of that he wasn't, that he is. He is the God-man. He is fully human and fully God in this. But one of the things that is absolutely amazing to me is, you see, when before he came as a baby, he was spirit and therefore didn't have the sense of having to be in a body. And one of the things that absolutely amazes me is that he chose to come for me, he chose to come for you, and he chose to put himself in a physical form. He chose to be restricted within time. He chose those things for us. And what I find absolutely amazing and just boggles me that he would do this for me, that it wasn't a temporary thing. It wasn't a temporary thing. It wasn't just for a few years. If you understand, if you read scripture, you go through it, you'll see that even though, for example, we know that he had a glorified body and we know that things changed. And I love it when he shows up and walks through walls when you see in the book of Acts or different things when he comes back to the disciples. I love it when he sits there and says to them, because they're freaking out because they're not really sure what's going on in this. And he says, okay, come here. Touch my hand. See again, here are the holes. Touch my side, see it. And then they're still not sure. And then he goes, okay, you got anything to eat? Anything at all? Any fish? Got it? And so he sits down and he eats because he wants to show them that it's him. See, Jesus will forever always have that body. And to me, it's such, I can't comprehend of all that he has done for me, that when I think of why he came, that he came knowing that I would fail. Anybody else? You know what I'm talking about? He knew all along that I wasn't going to be good at something. And for some reason, it didn't stop him from being in charge of sometimes in those things. He knew that I would not be perfect. He knew that I would not be able to be perfect. He knew that even as I received the sacrifice that he gave me, that I still wouldn't be able to fully live in this yet. And yet that didn't stop him from giving me this gift freely. I am so grateful, so unbelievably grateful for what he's done for me. So here's what your first assignment with your piece of paper. I'm going to get you to write on the one side, and you're going to have to write kind of small because they are small little pieces of paper. So I want you to be concise. That's kind of why I've given it to you. But on the one side, I want you to write blessings, just that word right now on the top, very small so you have room to write, blessings. And I want you to write, just take a second, and I want you to write down something that you're grateful for. And in recognition, obviously, right now of Christmas and of Jesus' birth, and I want you just to try just for a minute, just maybe a one phrase. Don't write the whole thing out because there's more to put down on there. But just say something along the lines of, I am so grateful for, or you can just write down what it is that you're grateful for what Jesus has done for me. So just take a minute. It doesn't matter. I know that I was a little bit, that was a little bit vague, okay, in there, but I wanted to give it to you vague so you can feel free to write down. So something that you're grateful in connection with Christmas, okay? Something that you're grateful with when you're connected with others, whether it's your family, friends, whatever it might be, whatever you decide to put down is good. Just write down something that you are grateful for. Okay, so you got your Bibles with you? Let's go through. We're going to start Luke chapter 1, verse 5. And there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judah, a certain priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God. Now remember this verse. They were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. But they had no child because the Elizabeth was barren and they were both well advanced in years. So it was that while he was serving as the priest before God in the order of the division, according to the customs of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. Okay, so let's stop there for a second. The first person I want to look at, and it's one of my favorites when I begin to look through, is Zacharias. Some translations refer to him as Zachariah. But this one particularly for me is Zacharias. Here is the key, is this next verse you're going to see. This is with this encounter. So he's basically doing his job, right? He's there, he's doing his job. And if you understand anything, the priests would go. There was thought to be, in Jesus' time, there was thought to be over 20,000 priests that were able to minister in that time. And so really what Zacharias was about to get the opportunity to do, which was to burn incense in the holy place, not in the Holy of Holies, but in the holy place on the altar of incense. He was given this privilege. Usually you got this once basically in your entire life because your group within the priests that were there would come together and they would minister. And if you were, they would basically almost, it was like a set of, not dice, but something along those lines. And they would roll this expecting God to move on that. And then you would be chosen by lot is what they called it to see whether you were going to be able to go into that holy place and offer up the sacrifice, which was incense at that moment. But so he's doing his job. He's doing what we consider to be the chronos in the sense of the chronological things, just going along, doing what he is supposed to do. He's in there, and all of a sudden, this incredible thing begins to happen. So everybody's with me right now. He's going in. He's going to burn the incense. It is a representation, if you look into Revelation, understanding the bowls that are filled with the prayer incense, okay, in the sense this is prayer. There's people actually that are outside of that area right now, and they're praying as well in this because it's everybody knows what Zacharias has gone to do. So he's there. He's doing his job, and this is what begins to happen. And it says in verse 9, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people was praying outside at the hour of incense. And then the angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will call his name John. So this incredible experience has begun to happen now where an angel of the Lord, we know who this is, but he has come while John is burning incense. Now, here's what I want to do. Just take a minute. We're going to just divert from the story a minute because this is the way my brain works. I want to know, what was that incense? Like, was there anything important about it? Was there anything that was interesting about it? And so I began to go and look it up. And in this incense, what they call it a sweet incense or a sweet perfume in this. But I tell you, what is absolutely to me miraculous is that this sweet incense or this incense, by the way, this was a secret that the priests hid. They did not want anybody to know because they didn't want them to just go make it and make it common around the area. So it was a held secret of the specifics of the amounts and everything else. But there are four different spices in this. But again, as I say, the majority of these spices are bitter. But in the end, when they're all mixed together with one that is not, the spice becomes a sweet-smelling savor. And it also becomes sweet-smelling in the nostrils, if you'd say, of God, or the understanding that he loves this. What I find amazing in the midst of this is that that's just like God to me. He turns around and he takes our bitter things, and that when we mix them and mingle them with praise and with gratitude and with thanksgiving, we offer them to him as a sacrifice. He transitions them and they become something that once was bitter to now is sweet. I don't know about you right now, but there are times in my life where there has been something that has happened. And I tell you, when you're right in the middle of all the bitterness, it's real hard. Come on now, let's be honest with each other. It's real hard, it's real difficult in the middle of that. And sometimes it doesn't feel sweet in the midst of that. But how many of you have had an experience that was very, very difficult and God came in and began to change the situation, and years later now that you can look back at it in a different way? Are you with me? See, this is what God does when we begin to do these things. So on your card right now, as I said, this is an interactive sermon today. I want you to grab your card. Now, this is where you're going to be vulnerable. I'm going to tell you before you write it down, because I'm totally okay if you decide not to write anything down on that card. Totally okay. You don't have to do anything with that card. Okay, in that way, I will not be looking at that card later. But if you choose, you say, you know what, I'm not ready to do that, then that's okay with me. But on the other side, so you got blessings on one side, flip it over to the other side, and I want you to write down just simply the word bitter. Write down the word bitter on that side of the card. Now, if you don't have a card, there's more cards here, and we can get you one with a pen. Now, listen, it's really, really important that we begin to just take a minute for this. I want you to grasp this. I believe that when I forgive somebody, that I don't have the right to complain about it anymore. I think I always do well at that. I said that I don't believe I have the right to complain about it anymore. See, when I choose to forgive someone, I choose to release somebody from the debt that was owed from that situation. But what happens a lot of times is that there is bitterness that creeps in the midst of that. You say, well, I'm not bitter. Okay, fine, we can call it something else if it makes you feel better, okay, in there. But the point in this is that situations happen, and if they fester, it becomes bitter. We didn't want it to become bitter. We didn't look for it to become bitter. We even tried not to make it bitter, but a bitterness began to creep in about something. And we realize, here's the thing, that bitterness by itself becomes something that overtakes us, and it begins to destroy the joy in our lives. You know what I'm talking about? And you might say, but it's just a little bit. It just a little bit in my life wants to creep in, and it wants to be in charge. Do you know that my bitterness wants to talk? My bitterness wants to talk all the time. And what happens is I have to tell my bitterness to shut up. And I have to tell my bitterness, listen, about my forgiveness. I have to tell, now, listen, this maybe sounds strange to some of you, but I have to speak to myself at times. I have to remind myself at times that I have forgiven someone, or I have forgiven this, or I have let this go. We oftentimes, though, feel like the thing, have you ever had this happen? Maybe you don't have this happen, maybe it's just me. But you say, I've let this go, and then a circumstance comes, and all of a sudden, it's right here. It's like, I know I let it go. But how did it get right here? And you can hardly see enough. You're looking around trying to get around because it feels like it just happened that second ago. You know what I'm talking about? In that moment, I have to remind myself that I forgave or that I released or that I don't have a right anymore to hold this against. I'm telling you, it's so very important. So what I want you to do right now is I have my own list in there. But I want you to, here's the challenge. If you write it down, you're giving it away. If this bitterness that you're going to write down, nobody's going to go over and go later. Okay, so let's see what Bruce did. okay, well, no, we're not doing that, okay, in this. But listen, it's so important you don't take this casually, flippantly. Don't just write something down because you know I'm asking you to. Unless you're ready to release it, don't write it down. Because it will no longer be something we can hold against somebody. Okay, so take a minute, and I want you to just say, Holy Spirit, show me what it is that you think I should write down on the side of the card that's labeled bitterness. What is one thing that's just, it might even just be a hard thing. It might not even be the fact of against someone. It might not even be forgiveness. It just might be something really hard that's happened, really difficult that's happened. And you're just like, Lord, this hurts. And so you just sit there and go, this has been a bitterness for me for 2022. So go ahead and take a minute. You might write one down, you might write two, you might write three. So as some of you are still writing down, I want to just show you, I find this fascinating. Maybe you will, maybe you won't. But this spice is made up of four different spices. And one of them is called stack tea. Now, I don't know if I got that right or not, but that's what it says in there. But this particular spice is part of the incense that was burned unto the Lord in prayer. And what this part is, this is the most fascinating part about this, it's actually... it's distilled. It's really stinks. It's really odorous, okay, in there. And it doesn't smell very good at all. And it's actually got like a distilling effect on it that it begins, what in fact, it's the same word that's used in Job chapter 29 and in verse 36. And it refers to distilled speech. And so for the Hebrews, when they thought about this particular spice, they thought about careful speech. They thought about distilled speech. Now, I'm not trying to disrespect Zacharias in there, but he walks into this particular place to deliver this spice. He knows what's in this. He knows what this is about. This is a big thing, okay, in there to be able to do. And in that moment, that particular spice to there is about distilled speech and about careful speech. I believe in the next season that really that where we've been and where we are going is we need to have distilled speech. We need to have careful speech, to watch what our mouths say. I believe truly, and I know this is like, okay, is this Sunday School 101? It is, but sometimes you got to be reminded of the 101. Because I don't know about you, but sometimes I want the lofty things, and God said, you got to work on the basics again for just a little bit over here if you don't mind in this. Because those are, and one of those things are, it's a matter of guarding your lips, guarding your mouth, having somebody that's around you and with you that can say to you, listen to me, it's not very easy for having someone else. I've asked Karen to help me with this and say, when you hear my speech not going in such a good direction, you need to tell me either you have two options. Rod, you can either go by yourself somewhere or you can stop talking like that. Now, that works well when I'm feeling good. But when I'm not necessarily, and she says, I'm like, yes, I know. Because it's something right now that we need to dispel our speech. We need to be asking, do I really need to say that? Do I really need to speak that? If someone comes along to us, do you know that gossip is just something that God absolutely hates? Absolutely hates it. And when we're with someone, we oftentimes will use prayer as a form of gossip. And it's like, you know, that we should pray for this person because of this and this and this. And then we have just exposed all their stuff. We need to treat each other like the loves of our lives. I know that's going to sound strange to you because it's like, well, no, well, that's weird. Okay, listen to me. I would never talk about Karen like that. I should be the same with you, my brothers and sisters, that I would never talk about you that way. Come on now, isn't that God? That's godly, right, in that middle. So here, I'm going to move on here. The next spice is this. I'm going to say it wonderfully. Onika, whatever it is. Okay, so the word is translated both as a herb, and this is kind of cool, as a shellfish that's found in the Red Sea, which when ground up, when this shellfish is ground up, it yields this beautiful, sweet fragrance from this. But the shellfish in itself has no sweet fragrance. Where the shellfish gets the sweet fragrance from is from the fact of feeding on the stems that are on the seashore. They are the fragrant things, and it becomes fragrant by feeding on that. And then when that shell is all ground up, it becomes like a herb and has this sweet smelling savor. Isn't that just like us? I got to ask myself a lot of times, what am I feeding on? What am I feeding on in this situation? Am I feeding on the past? Am I feeding on the bitterness? Am I feeding on my frustration? I know maybe none of you do that in there, but it's a matter of sometimes we can begin to live on a steady diet of what we wish we would have happened. Come on now. I guess this is good job, Rod. That's awesome. Okay. Listen, we can do this. We don't mean to do this. But in this season, we need to be feeding on that which causes us to grow. We need to be feeding on. I know you're probably tired of me hearing me say this, but you've got to feed on this. You have to digest it. It has to become part of your everyday course. And it's not a religious thing. I'm not telling you, okay, if you don't say, you know, read the Bible for 4 hours a day and pray, well, then you're not. Come on. We are so far from that. But on the other end of the spectrum is I should not go a week without the word. Come on now. Right? It's something, and you like you go, Pastor Rod, you know, you're a pastor, you do this. Come on now. I have a life too. All of us have stuff that's happening, and it wants to drive us away from the word. Come on now. It's just the truth in the midst of this. And here's what I got to do sometimes. When I have not done it, I've got to go into repentance with the Lord. And it's not like a big, drawn-out thing. It's like, Lord, I'm so sorry. Father, forgive me. Help me today. I want to digest your word again. Simple. Done. Moving on. I'm back into the word again. Right? And see, to me, it's not black words on white pages. I get in the middle of it. I put myself right. That's why I'm talking to you about spices right now, because that one word kind of made me go, well, I mean, I wonder what that was like, because I know God. He doesn't do anything by just happenstance. He doesn't just write something in this book because, well, you know, it looks, sounds good. Okay, in there. There's something deeper in the midst of it, and that's where we begin to, I just want to fall in love with God's word again. Are you with me? So what we have to do is we have to go, okay, I reject shame, I reject guilt, I reject all the rest of that stuff. That's not me. That's not my portion. God, I need your help. I want to become in love with the word of God. Anybody with me? Okay, so agree with me. God, I want to become so in love with your word. Amen. See, it's just essential. It's what we feed on. Okay, the next spice is this. It's galbanum. Okay, I'm just butchering it, I'm sure. Okay, but it's difficult to actually identify or translate, but it's this resin kind of gum, brownish yellow color, and it stinks as well. It is really strong. In fact, it's so strong that it's used to drive away vermin and destructive insects. That's what by itself, that's how odorous, that's how strong it is. It's used to drive away vermin and destructive insects. What am I talking about here now? When we talk about this incense, what does it represent? It represents prayer, right? To me, that every single one of these represent prayer. If I've got some kind of vermin that's trying to get at me, and I'm not talking about the mice now, okay? But something that's happening in the midst of this, it is prayer that begins to change those things. It is prayer, and I feel somewhat like a broken record, and I know because have you ever had these flashbacks to when you were a kid? The pastor up there talking about we got to pray, okay, in there. And sometimes I feel like that guy. But in the midst of this is there is no other way but prayer. Prayer accomplishes things. Prayer changes things. Prayer drives away the enemy. You see, prayer is potent. And in the midst of this, what happens a lot of times is when we have a discouraging situation, when we pray and nothing happens, I have two choices. I can believe this as truth that nothing's going to happen, so why bother pray? Or I can say, Lord, I don't understand why something's not happened, but that's not the way it's supposed to be, and I'm going to continue to pray. It is not easy. If you have been in a battle for a long, long time, it is not easy. But it's essential. It is the only way through. When I think about it, Pastor Claude, I'm not looking to dump guilt on anybody here. But I would just love it if you'd come and help us on a Tuesday night when we pray. You're like, but Pastor Rod, you're going to shove a mic in my mouth and you're going to make me do this and this and this. I won't. I will protect you in the midst of this. But just being in that atmosphere together to set things in motion, I believe with all my heart that we're about to see shifting and changing in our church. Come on now. That's not just me standing up because I got to say something that makes everybody go, whoa, whoa. Okay, in there. I am telling you right now that things are going to change, and I don't want to be left out of it. I don't want to be the one that's sitting there in the corner, and I have been the one so many times sitting in the corner going, I'm not sure I believe any of this anymore. And you say, Pastor Rod, you? Come on now. As I said, I am human. I walk through all the valleys that you walk through, but I am going to choose. Just recently, I had the opportunity, and I now call it a blessing. At the time, I didn't, but to be offended. Anybody else? No, you're all saints. Okay, good enough. Pastor Gary said, Rod, you need to watch this video. And I never know what she's going to send me at times. Okay, she's just so awesome. She knows exactly what I need, even if I don't want to even see it. So she says, you got to watch this video. And so this prophet gets on this video. Now, prophet, right, gets on this video. And this prophet's saying all this stuff. I am so irritated. I'm about to throw the phone through the wall, okay, in this. And all this prophet says is, you know what? You just got to stop. I'm like, come here, if I could get in that phone right now. I mean, stop. It's like, you need to choose. You need to choose. If you're in a hole, stand up. And I'm like, they do not know what on a hole that I am in. They do not know what I'm going through. Do you know what I'm talking about? And you're just like, this person has no compassion whatsoever. And I'm like, boy, I wonder if I've done that to people, Lord. And you're thinking, God, I didn't do it on purpose, but And so you're just getting irritated with this lady, just driving me nuts. And at the end of it, God's like, so that bugged you, didn't it? I'm like, yeah, somewhat. I'm like, but she had no compassion. She didn't talk about, but she was right. I'm like, and I'm like, ah. And so I'm like, I know, but Lord, I'm just tired. You want to keep confessing you're tired? Go ahead and keep confessing you're tired. And when you're done confessing you're tired, and like here the whole time, I'm like, but I am tired. I am tired. It's like, if you want to continue to confess you're tired, I'll just sit and wait for you to be done. And finally I went, and this was not like the next day. I wish I was that easy. I wish it was that easy with me that it wasn't the next day. It took me weeks. And I finally went, wow, that lady had something to say, didn't she? Okay, Lord, no matter how I feel, I'm getting up. No matter how I feel, I am getting up. No matter what I see or what I don't see, I am getting up. And I am going to once again use my mouth, and it's an instrument to change the destiny that I live in and the destiny of those that are around me. Come on now, right? Now that lasted for 3 hours. Now you want honesty or do you want someone else to get up here? And I went through another battle. And then God says to me, so that's okay, Rod. Get back up and start declaring again. And before you know it, I get some speed. I get some headway. And yet I realize that, you know what? I can't do this on my own. I can't even do this on my own strength whatsoever. So God, every day I am going to rely on you. And I spend the mornings at different times now trying to fill my mouth with declarations of the word. Come on now, are you with me? This is what we need to do in this season. The last one is this, is frankincense. And it's kind of cool because to take frankincense, you actually have to pierce the tree. You have to cut through this tree. And this particular tree, it grows through the cracks of marble rocks. It needs very, very, very little fluid at all, this tree does. And in fact, it will produce very, very little out of it. That's why it is so expensive and so valuable. But in the midst of this, I did not know this, but pure frankincense back in the day was actually an antidote to poison. It seems to me that prayer today is our antidote for spiritual poison, for those things that have come against us and those things that our mind wrestles with, that prayer is that thing that we begin to see a change in. So on your card that you have there, you've wrote on the one side the bitterness. I want you to flip it over to the other side, and here's your opportunity. I want you to give me four of them. Now, I know that there's not a lot of writing in there, so you're going to have to be concise, okay, in there. But I want you to put down four blessings that are in your life right now. And I want you to praise through them. Okay, so Lord, I thank you for, you don't have to write that down because there's not enough room, but I praise you for this, Lord. I praise you for that, Lord. I want you to be very specific on these things. Okay, so we're going to mingle and mix some praise in the midst of that bitter things that have happened. So go ahead, take a minute and write them down. Now, I'm not going to do this here because we don't want to set off the fire alarm, okay? But what I'd like you to do is if you have the opportunity, if you don't, you can just throw them in the garbage. That would be suitable too. But burn the thing as sweet incense unto the Lord. Now, here's what I want you to do with you, though. You got to know. Come here. Look at me. You got to know. Those things that you put down on the bitterness side, you don't get to talk about them anymore. You don't get to rehearse them anymore. And I say, you say, but that's really, really hard. You don't understand. Come talk to me for a few minutes about my life in the last little while. But you know what? I don't get to rehearse them anymore because what I have to rehearse is the next things that I believe God are about to do. I've got to start rehearsing the word in the midst of this. When the Lord began to show me this, I know I struggled a lot this weekend with this because I don't feel like I fully have this down as much as I want to. Okay, so you have to hear that out of me. But I know that breaking into the next, do you know that this year, 2023, the word actually means, it has mixed into it, is the word for breakthrough. It actually is the word that's connected with kairos. It is the word that begins to change the mundane plowing into the absolute incredible encounter with God. This is so I am setting my faith, and it will not be based on what the last year has been about. I will wave goodbye. Anybody with me to 2022? Have a fun time. See you some other time. Maybe not. But 2023 is my, yeah, hopefully not, Pastor Klotz, don't ask that. Okay. But in 2023, I will not set my expectations according to my losses. I will set my expectations for what I can hardly believe for and let God come along and be my strength, my boldness, and my courage to begin to see something change. Are you with me? Do not set your expectations from the negative things. In other words, I don't know exactly how it is. We have to look it up. The negative things, I don't even have it in my notes. The negative things of my past, the bitter things that are on there. I will not set them by that. I will set them by what I can hardly do on my own and that I need God to come through again. I have been, maybe I'm not supposed to do this as a pastor. It's been only 30 years now. But I have to stop hedging my bets. And I know that's kind of not a word you usually use in the pulpit. But what I mean by that is kind of looking for easy stuff because it's been hard. I have to once again go, God, what is it that you are saying over my family, over those that are in my neighborhood, but over those that are around me? And then I'm going to set my faith to believe for 2023 to be a breakthrough year for all of these things. Amen? Stand with me. I got one more thing to share with you as you stand. And it's just simply the end of this chapter. Let me read it to you. It says here, but the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great. Now listen to all this stuff about John. And he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to their Lord, their God. And then these verses. And he will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient of the wisdom to the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. That's the description that is upon John's life. Let me show you, though, what Jesus says about John's life. Now watch this. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 11. It says, I tell you, among those born of women, there is not one, not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. This is about to change everything in this. But Jesus freaks us all out with the next portion of this verse. He says this, yet whoever is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. See, this is who you are in the midst of this next year. You are the ones that are going to do these greater things. You, by the Spirit of God, by the anointing that comes upon your life, and you will see God move in your life through you to affect others. Amen? Amen. Amen. Well, I bless you today. I pray that just a wonderful Christmas week. Connect with people this week. I dare you to call someone or text someone and just bring a word of encouragement to them. Have a great day. We bless you.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Antioch, you can visit us online at antiochcanada.ca.